Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask you to invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. We have so many wonderful guests that God brings to us. And tonight is a really great night. We have got Mr. Dan Fraley. And Mr. Dan Fraley is a teacher. He calls himself a student, but he's a teacher of Hebraic roots. And with what we're going, what we're seeing right now, the persecution against the Jews, I'm so thankful that you're here with us to give light to what is going on, Mr. Dan Fraley, because we know that God's Word has given us warnings from our Heavenly Father who loves us. So I'll go ahead and start us off with prayer, if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you love us so much, Lord, that you gave us your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, you woo us and you send us many warnings. You send us many signs. And Lord, you would that no man would perish. You loved us so much that you gave your son to die on the cross. You sacrificed even your very best. And he did it willingly because he knew that we are worthwhile. So, Lord, we ask that the listeners will find grace and peace in what we speak of today, that they will find truth that will set some of them free who do not know who you are. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that your gift is for all who will accept. So, Lord, we pray that you'll give us a word to say and be with us. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, Mr. Dan, we have not talked to you in a long time. And it's been a while, but, you know, I'm really asking you to be on more. You've been so kind just when we, you know, when we need you, you come on. But I think these are the end times. I don't think there's any way to go around it. And I know we're not promised tomorrow. Our end time could be, you know, sooner than when God comes, which a lot of people think is going to be soon. But, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. But I do think that for many people, Mr. Dan, they're very fearful of what they're seeing in the news, you know, and we're thanking God we're not seeing it here yet. Well, we have seen it. We saw 9/11, but, you know, we're seeing where people were killed in Paris, and then also now, you know, we have a figure of like 2,000. Were they Christians in Nigeria, 2,000 Christians that were slaughtered in Nigeria?
Well, they're Christian villages. It doesn't necessarily mean they were all Christian, but basically what they're doing is they're just driving out anything that's not Muslim, and they're taking all the young girls and turning them into sex slaves to generate their funds. And you know, it's not going to stop. It's going to spread out through Africa if we allow it to continue to go on.
And then Mr. Dan, did you also hear about a university, Duke University, that they were having going to allow that call to prayer, and but that it was stopped? Somebody had the common sense to stop it. Now, I guess I can start with that. Now, what do you see that as when they try to do something like that?
Well, they're trying to do it right here at Troy State University. The Muslim Student Association, the MSA, which, by the way, almost every university campus, especially those that take international students, have got an MSA. And if you trace MSA, you'll see that it's just an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. And they're opening up the universities with this MSA. And then the Muslims that go to these universities, like here at Troy State, the first thing they begin to do is ask for prayer time and setting up a special place where that they can pray. And see, a lot of people try to say, well, that's okay, you know, freedom of religion, this is okay. But they're not thinking like a Christian thinks. A Christian knows that when you're praying to Allah, you're inviting a demonic spirit to come onto the campus. And it bothers me to see these, like Duke University. Now, I hadn't heard that somebody stopped it. I heard that they're starting tomorrow
they just stopped it, I think, earlier tonight. Somebody they had made an announcement that they had stopped that. I mean, they're going to go to the chapel and pray, but they're not going to do over the speaker as was planned.
Yeah, the Duke New University was started by Methodists and what's the other group, Puritans or something. You know, most universities, in fact, the first 108 universities that were started in this nation were started, at least 106 of them, I believe, were started.
Oh, Mr. Dan, we are joined by Ms. Barbara, and I'm sure she can verify what you're saying. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hey, hi, Dan. You're absolutely right. It was the first 106 out of the first 108. But the other two were started by Christians, just not by a particular denominational church. So, yeah, absolutely. But now, please tell those of us who have not been aware of it, what exactly was being planned at Duke University?
Well, it's going to happen at most all universities, but they're trying to set a prayer time up where the Muslim. Let me tell you, I got personal experience with it right here at Troy State. One of my fellow members on the Gideon camp is a professor over there, and they sent a flyer around to all the different professors asking if it was okay if the Muslims took time to during their prayer hours to step out of class or to get in the part of the classroom where they could be alone and bow to Allah and pray. And I'm not going to mention any names, but this professor that I know very well said, absolutely not in my classroom. It's not going to be interrupted. First of all, it's unethical that they are allowed to do things like that and other students aren't allowed. But the thing that worries me the most is the fact that they are praying to a God that, to me and to a lot of people that's on this campus, is a false God. And when they're praying to that God, they're actually opening doors for the demonic spirit, because that spirit would come on the campus. You know, a lot of people don't. You know, a lot of people don't believe in the power of prayer. Prayer is very strong, and prayer gets answered. Well, it also, when they pray to Allah, prayer gets answered. That demon is going to do everything it can to answer the prayer. When they invite Allah onto the campuses, basically they're inviting demonic spirits.
Well, Mr. Dan, can I just say this? Then I think I'm sorry, Ms. Barr. I think we need to be praying for these colleges. And I'm sorry, I was just reminded that we got to unite and help them. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, the founder of Islam, Muhammad himself, believed at different times that he was possessed by demonic spirits. Allah is a false god, a demonic god. Who demands human sacrifice, like Baal, like, you know, the sun god of the Aztecs and the Mayas, and, you know, demands human sacrifice. Do we really want that on our college campuses, to invite this demonic spirit in?
Well, watch out now. You're talking about the religion of peace here.
Yeah, right. Oh boy, who got that started? What a false belief that is. I'm afraid that goes back to the George Bush administration. Actually, President Bush had it right at the beginning. He said, "We're going to." He mentioned the Crusades. He said something to the effect, and boy, he was jumped on and shut down from that point on about that. That it was going to be a fight against, you know, the Muslim terrorists, and he likened it to the Crusades. So, but anyway,
well, you know,
that didn't last long. and it turned into a religion of peace.
It something has to happen, and it has to happen quick if we're going to stop this. Well, first of all, Diane was right. We have got to unite as Christians in one accord, just as it happened at Acts 2 on the Temple Mount when the Holy Spirit came down. All Christian faiths need to come together and stand in accord and have intercessory prayer, first of all, to protect those that are being persecuted by Islam, and secondly, to pray for Islam that God puts the spirit of confusion in the head and let them see a little bit of truth. It's a scary thing that our own government, in fact, you know, we know our leadership is surrounded by the Muslim Brotherhood, and our CIA has been turned over to a practicing Muslim as our leader and many other things. So we know that the sheep in wolf's clothing up there is, there's no doubt about it, he's Muslim. He projected that when he first got elected and said this is no longer a Christian nation. Well, I'm sorry, it is a Christian nation. And when our forefathers said that there was going to be freedom of religion, they were talking about the religion of Christianity, no other religion
right.
at the time. And a lot of people don't realize that. There were so many different factions of Christianity, they just grouped it all together in religion. But Islam is taking advantage of that, and in fact, the MSA, the Muslim Student Association, has the same creed as the Muslim Brotherhood, is to destroy the Western world from inside the Western world.
With their
passiveness, and that's exactly what we're seeing happen. I was googling on or piddling around on Facebook tonight. There's this Christian man that's written a book called Twilight in America, and he has tried to get on these supposedly free-to-the-public enclaves that the Muslims have set up. There's 22 of them in this nation, and they're in Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, Michigan, New York, Alaska, and California. And these are basically training camps for Muslims, and they're also these are camps that work on bringing people across our borders and hiding them in these enclaves, and setting them up with false papers, and then letting them get out into the public. It would probably sicken our stomachs if we knew exactly how many sleeper cells are in this country, and most of them are tied in with universities, with the MSA, the Muslim Student Association. That's a scary thing.
Really? Wow. That is a frightening thing. Okay, let me ask you this, Dan. Do you think that it would be prudent for the United States to cease and desist all Muslim immigration?
I would say that's what needs to happen immediately. We need to secure our borders. It's probably too late. There's probably going to be some things that happen that this year. I believe it's a year that things are going to begin to happen rapidly. But we need, first of all, Christians have got to quit being distracted by the world. There are so many things going on in this country that's distracting us. We're not paying attention, and our country's getting taken away from us. And we see it as plain as sight going on in Europe, like what's happening in France and England. And I was happy to see that the Germans stood up and had a big riot against Islam in their country, and I hope that they stay steadfast with that. But it's going to take something stronger than just secular people trying to fight it. It's going to take the Holy Spirit rising up the Christian body and let Christ be the head. You know, we have no power because we're so separate from each other. Somehow we've got to get unified, and it may take a disaster against some large Christian organization or something in this country to wake us all up. I don't know what it's going to take. But according to the prophecies, it's the fire that comes out of our mouth that puts a stop to this kind of stuff. So that's the Holy Spirit with the word. So we just got, you know, just like we're talking on the radio here, and people all over this country and all over the world are doing just like we're doing. We're starting to plant the seeds to get something going and get people off their TV watching fannies and whatever video game playing fannies and do something, especially our youth.
Well, Mr. Dan, Ms. Barbara, let me do say this. I did see something on The Blaze this week. And, you know, Lauren Dew, I think that's her name, does a really good job in these reports. And she was reporting at how many of the illegal immigrants are really from, not from Mexico, they're coming from Syria and other Middle Eastern countries. And so, you know, when she does a report, it's a good report that you can almost just point Martha Roby and people like that who is on this anti-immigrant, you know, stance right now. And I think it would empower them because it's so fact-filled. I mean, the numbers clearly show, and like you're saying, Mr. Dan, we don't have to be a rocket scientist to know where they're going. They are being protected. And the number is, if you've got almost a million a year coming in, it's just a matter of time, you know, when a certain percentage is from Middle East that you are, as you're saying, going to have a really big problem in your hands. So I think Martha Roby being where she's at, Ms. Barbara, I know not everybody likes her, but that is a stand that she has. And so we may need to be calling and just really encouraging her and Jeff Sessions to do something with that information that's already been researched.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. And not only are the Muslims continuing to cross over the border illegally, they're coming in legally, and they are reproducing astronomically. You know, if you have four or five wives, you're going to have, you know, 40 or 50 brothers and sisters. They are reproducing, and we are not. Western civilization is not reproducing itself. That requires at least 2.5 children per couple, and that's not even happening. Not in the United States, not anywhere in Western civilization, unfortunately. But the Muslims are populating like crazy.
Yeah, and that's all over the world, too. It's happening right in Israel. The Muslims are outbreeding the Jews, and the only thing that's keeping up with the Muslim population is the Jews coming in from the diaspora from all across the globe. Is the only way to match it. But the Muslims, their average is 7 or 8 children per family. That's average.
Do you know there are some that are a whole lot more?
Yeah. The thing that's been bothering me in the news just recently is these young girls that, you know, they're training and brainwashing as young as 10 years old to be suicide bombers. You know, we haven't seen anything yet. It's getting more violent. You know, there's no depth to what the devil can do to create chaos and evil and murder and killing. You know, take Boko Haram. They're not satisfied with cutting heads off anymore. They want to cut the guts open and pull the entrails out of these young Christian children and let them die slowly. You know, that's, can you believe that people are that evil?
The devil himself. They are possessed by the devil himself.
Exactly.
Can't get any worse than that.
And, you know, the Bible speaks of
it.
Yes. The Bible speaks of they get to a point where they don't even recognize good. Everything bad is good to them, and everything that's good is bad. They can't even they couldn't understand truth if you showed it to them.
No.
They understand, they're living in a complete different universe where lies are truth, and darkness is light, and you know, and good is evil, and it's a sad world, and of course we're promised these things scripturally. They're going to get worse and worse, like the birth pains of a woman in travail before the Lord comes. And Satan is going to show his hand first. He's going to lay down his card first. You're going to have the caliphate and the rest of the beast and that comes out of the sea and the beast that comes out of the earth and the dragon, the false trinity there, the 666, the six possessed men is what it's going to be. And he's going to lay his cards down. There's going to be a caliphate, and all the Muslims are going to, you know, it's all going to be done on the internet. And that's what ISIS is using right now, is the internet to entice even in recruiting people in our own country and all the countries of the Western world. He's using all the tools he can as rapidly as can, and we can see how changes are taking place. And isn't it ironic that all these things really started getting bad when Obama got in office, is a thing to me. It's like he's doing everything behind closed doors to make sure these things go smoothly. Does it seem that way to you? It's like it's forward.
Yeah.
It's forward
and
policy.
It's like a flood. It's like a flood. It's like the dam has been loosed, you know, and it's just a flood. You know, I was reminded when you were talking about the what the terrorists are doing, devilish work with the children and the guts, and I was thinking, you know, they also cut hearts out while the people are still alive. They cut their hearts out, and they've even been shown eating those hearts. What a devilish procedure that is. But you know, talking about with the children, it's a matter of Sharia law that little girls are their genitalia is circumcised. It's mutilated. And many of the little girls die from bleeding to death when they're cut on that way. And Diana, do you remember when Dr. Daniel Shaeste? Oh, we need to get him on the show with Dan at some point. And he's a pastor. He Exodus out of darkness. But Diana, if I'm not mistaken, and if I am, please forgive me. But I believe it was Dr. Shaeste that said when the little girls begin clothing being clothed in burqas, that's a sign that they're ready for marriage. And we're talking little 7, 8, 9-year-old girls. That burqa symbol that they are marriageable. Do you remember that, Diana?
I don't remember that, Miss Barbara.
Okay, well,
But that makes sense.
I think that. What?
Well, that makes sense. Well, one of the shocking things that I remember, but it wasn't Dr. Shaeste, somebody else had mentioned it, and it was even in articles, was Egypt performed, I think 90% of their population performed to girls that you were just talking about, circumcision, that they were for that.
Mutilation.
And that's a modern Egypt. And we're for Sharia law, but of course, you know, things have changed now. They don't want Sharia law, but it's a little bit too late.
Well, in Sharia law, it's forbidden for a woman to have pleasure during sex, and that's a step they take is to remove that sensitive part of the genitalia so that they won't. But to me, it's just a sick religion all the way around, and a lot of it's based on sex. You know, once they defile their young 7 or 8 year old wives and had their fill of them, they're wanting another virgin. It's for some reason they're obsessed with virgins, and then they use this to play on young men when their sexual desires at the highest point. That if they go and martyr themselves, that they'll get all these virgins in heaven. Can you imagine a heaven that's based on sex? How can that be God again?
Well, I thank God that God is God, and I'm just really astounded when I see all these things happening, and then we compare it with the Bible, and even Glenn Beck, Miss Barbara, was talking tonight. And I was telling Mr. Dan that he's saying we are in the go phase. It's not get, set, ready, go. It is the go of the get, set, ready or whatever. It's like and I titled tonight's show, Enough is Enough. I mean, at some point, and I think to myself, You know, when we, you know, Mr. Dan, me and Miss Barbara is dealing a lot with the school systems and what's going on. But when you think of an awesome, loving God, and he's seeing that more of the young people that's going to be of the age of accountability are being raised in darkness. We're talking about, we're looking at some of these libraries in the schools. They've taken out the good books, and they're passing in there the very dark books. You know, they're raising that mindset. Again, I'm reminded of what you were just saying about these Muslim people. Very, you know, very much in that dark world. And we're raising our children like that too, Ms. Barbara, Mr. Dan. I hate to say it. That's what's going on in schools.
I've seen it on Facebook where schools all around the country, especially in Colorado, are dressing the kids up in Muslim garb and showing them how to pray the Muslim prayers and teaching them Arabic. But yet, if we try to teach anything Christianity in the school, then it's shunned upon. I don't understand how it's getting so much playtime. You know what I'm saying? Why is it so popular right now when it's so evil? When people can see with their own eyes on the news what's happening, but yet we have movie stars that I like and respect are Muslims. How could they still be Muslim and see what's going on in the world and then claim, oh, that's just the terrorist part? No, that these people are dedicated to what they believe, and they believe in the Quran, and the Quran has some words in it that aren't very befitting love, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, the terrorists are practicing the Islamic religion that Muhammad founded, and you know, they are following in his footsteps, his example, his instructions. They have this doctrine of abrogation where everything that was written later, it negates what has been written previously in the Quran. So at the beginning, Muhammad was all peaceful when he lived in Mecca because he was outnumbered and very unpopular. And so his writings were very peaceful. But when he fled to Medina and gathered an army, a force to be reckoned with, then those writings changed dramatically. And we have all the instructions to murder the Jews and the infidels and the, you know, and on and on and on. And that's what stands, because that abrogates whatever came before it. And those are the last writings of Muhammad. And so, you know, these terrorists are doing what the Quran says to do.
But just like a lot of Christians do, they pull surahs out of the Quran that justify their actions, and they ignore some of them that would not justify them. You know, when I go into the prison systems and I talk to, you know, I face these black Muslims all the time, and I tell them, I said, read your Quran. The Quran mentions Christ 25 times and glorifies him as a prophet, as a healer, and even as the Spirit of God, but it only mentions your Muhammad 4 times, and it gives him no credit for any miracles or any prophecies other than the Quran itself. And you tell me which one is the better prophet. And they can't answer because they don't read the Quran. You know, they just want to pull these little things out that justify their hatred or whatever.
Well, Dan, I understand that one of the fastest growing Muslim populations is in the prison system. Is that true?
Yes, it is the fastest growing religion in the prison. That's why I deal with it at the city level here, is because, and I prepare them when they recite the sinner's prayer, and I get them into Bible study. And you know, I tell them, when you get sent off to prison through your court system, you're going to get confronted by Islam. and it's going to sound beautiful. They're not going to tell you the bad stuff of it. They're going to tell you, oh, you know, God is too powerful a God to have a son. You know, God doesn't have a son, and all these other things. I prepare them, and that's what we need to do. If we can get them into God's Word and get a dose of love and forgiveness and grace, when they get to the prison, it may help them. But I've seen a lot of black that even were raised up in black churches that have converted to Islam and think that is the true religion, which I don't understand because they're just not educated enough to research historically the difference. You know, you compare apples and oranges with Muhammad and Jesus, and there's no comparison. I mean, Jesus is just pure holy light. And Muhammad, I mean, come on, he got his vision in a dark cave under the influence of a barbiturate. How can that be a vital religion?
Well said.
Well, Mr. Dan, Ms. Barbara, also, have y'all seen the article where it's saying that the president is trying to really, you know, warn the journalists not to publish things like Charlie Hebdo because he wants to protect our military. He wants to prevent another murderous jihad attack by Muslims. Have y'all heard about that? Y'all haven't heard about that?
Well, I've read a little bit.
Yeah, somebody had mentioned that, so I'm just reading it now. It says, outrage. Obama will take necessary steps to make sure American journalists don't slander Islam. We have got to all read this, and I think we need to be calling our legislators and think. Say that again?
What kind of steps is he prepared to take to shut down the free speech of journalists?
Another executive order? I don't know.
I hate to say this, but 90% of the journalists aren't going to say anything bad about Islam in this country, and that's the sad thing.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, you're right.
Well, now, some of them have published the pictures. I think it's talking about it says right here, many major American media have chosen to publish the image that of Charlie Hebdo's, cover. So they have. But now he's wanting to warn them, against further. But I think to myself, who made him king now? When I guess this is what happens when the better thing to do is not to impeach, right?
Well, my brother is big into all this kind of stuff about the conspiracy, but when I see actual pictures of UN trucks being made by the hundreds of thousands and distributed all across this country, and Obama's trying to get the UN set up to where they're going to be the ones that take our guns away, and then I see that the FEMA has bought hundreds of thousands of caskets. I don't understand why. And then all of these armor vehicles being made and given to the law enforcement agencies of the larger cities, you know, all these things are falling together. There's going to come a point here in the immediate future where they're going to come against the Bibles and the guns, and they're going to put a stop, because Christianity is going to be hate crime. Carrying a gun is going to be totally forbidden. It's happening right before our eyes, and not a whole lot we can do about it. But to me, it's going to take more than Obama to come down here in the South and take rednecks' guns and Bibles away from them. So I think we're in the safest place that we could possibly be in the whole world is right here in South Alabama. Do you agree with me on that?
Well, yeah, Liam Neeson made, he's the one that had the movies Taken, and he's got a movie that's out on DVD called Walking Along the Tombstones, and I mistakenly got that thinking, oh, it's another movie like Taken, about guns and stuff, and that was action, so I liked it. But this was a horror movie. I could not watch the whole thing. But he made a statement that, you know, when they were asking him about what happened in Paris, and he started blaming the fact that we have over 300 million guns. And I'm thinking,
well,
I guess I won't be watching him anymore.
You're talking to, yeah, the guy that's the big star in the Taken 1, 2, and 3. I can't think of his name. I think you said it. He's a Muslim.
Oh,
you know,
no,
I
didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a Hollywood Muslim, and you'd be surprised some of the people in Hollywood that are Muslim. It just blows me away. And when I found out he was a Muslim, that blew me away.
Well, you know, they've never been known for their intelligence, the Hollywood crew.
They think they're intelligent because they try to speak against anything and everything that goes on in the world, but they have no right to. They're just dumb people. You know, all
I
they can do
well,
is act.
I think part of this marriage between liberals and Islam is to join together against Christianity and against Christians and against biblical truth. And I think they can unite in that. And but you know, even so, you would think that they could think a little bit, you know? Wow.
Well, sad thing is, more and more of them's going to think that way. Sorry, Mr. Dan, with his Common Core, but go ahead.
Well, you would think that our Congress and our Senate and our leadership in this country would be a little more capable than what they're doing too. You know, it reminds me of. Can you imagine now if you had two football teams coming together in the playoffs, and the teams are befriending each other, and they become such good friends that they're afraid they might tackle somebody and hurt somebody too, or they don't want to intercept the pass because, you know, they might be offended. It seems like our Congress and our Senate is more interested in stepping across the aisle and making friends rather than them being basically our enemy, because that's where most of our battle comes from, is from the left. And we need to attack it as they're not necessarily our enemies, but they're our opposing team. Don't try to go shake hands across the aisle. Let's put our foot down and let the majority make the decision in this country, and not the big cities step in and with their corruption and stuff and take over. We have control of the Senate now, and we have control of the Congress. Yeah. Let's do something about it.
Amen.
We should be bombarding. Obama should be so busy trying to veto all these negative things come on his table, they didn't have time to go play golf.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, okay, so we shut that. We secure the border. And Diana, I like what you suggested about we need to, because Martha Roby is taking a leadership role in this, we need to call and support her and do everything we can to, and Jeff Sessions too. We do need to do that. But okay, so we get the border secured, we stop Muslim immigration into our country. How would we, the 22 enclaves of jihad training in the United States, I wonder if there are any plans, since they are the enemy within, I wonder if there are any plans by those in positions of power to deal with that. Have you read anything?
Well,
how that's going to be?
I think that's a good thing to, when we call our congressmen, we need to ask them and send us a letter, please. What steps are you going to take? I mean, is it going to take another 3,000 or more you know, having another 9/11 before you do something, you know where they're at, right? I mean,
that's right.
I think we have to demand something be done because we've already seen what just happened in Paris and Boko Haram. So can we afford to still close our eyes and close our ears?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. While we're supporting their strong stand, we need to ask them what steps they're going to take now to shut down these 22 enclaves and, you know, what they're going to do about some of the other issues with the Muslims, the cells, the sleeper cells.
You know, if I was a multimillionaire, I would hire me a bunch of crop dusters, and I would get with the slaughterhouse, and I would get with the slaughterhouses, and I would get all the pig's blood that I could get, and I would fly over these enclaves, and I would spray them every day with pig's blood, see how long they stick around.
They fought in a war. Was it World War II?
I think that was Black Jack Pershing. General Pershing. Yeah, I believe it. I believe that was.
There was a terrorist uprising in the Philippines.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
And they were
and up, it's been...
they
oh,
rounded up 50, it's... They rounded up 50 Muslims. They killed 49 of them, poured pig's blood on them in a pit, and threw the pig's carcass in there and left one of them alive to go tell his buddies. And they didn't have any more uprising there since just recently. I don't know if you've noticed,
wow.
You don't see it in the paper, but you know there were several thousand people killed in the Philippines by Muslims just recently.
Oh,
yeah.
It's everywhere, isn't it, Mr. Dan? Well, before we lose you, Mr. Dan, can you tell the listeners, I know we've, you know, we were going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Middle East with Israel, because I've not really, Ms. Barbara, I've not really heard too much about what's going on in Israel. You know, we're just, I think the Paris thing,
well,
which, you know, is right. We need to hear that.
Right. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was, every inch the leader there. I was just it was just a real blessing to me to see him, and I understand that not everybody was glad to see him, but he certainly stepped up and provided real leadership there to march against terror.
Yes, he did. And you know he made a speech to his own people that it's pretty much official now that the world has turned against us, so we are on our own to protect ourselves. You know, he's such a righteous man, and he is a God ordained man for the time that it is getting in these last days. You know what the very name Benjamin Netanyahu means?
No,
it means a son of mine and a gift from God.
Oh.
Wow.
Benjamin means son of mine, and Netanyahu is, Netan is gift, and Yahu from God, from Yah.
Wow. Wow. Go ahead, Mr. Dan. You look for a sign?
Well, I say anything to do with Israel, you're going to get a sign from God, and that's just one of them. That's just one of those little assurances that God's in control. He's got everything the way it is for a reason. These things have to take place, and we know that, like you said earlier, we know the end of the story. But that doesn't mean we sit around and let the story take place and not do anything about it. And this is, you know, I don't want to throw a wrench in y'all's work, but I'm not a rapture person. If the rapture is going to be, that's a great thing. I'm glad we'd be raptured out of here, but there's nothing biblical about it except one little old scripture in Paul's writings where where people base all that on. But the bottom line is the Bible tells us, first of all, in Amos 7, it says God is not going to do anything without telling us first. And then he tells us that everything that he does, he tells us from the beginning how the end will be. Now, did not the 10 plagues of Egypt, did not the Jews, the children of Israel have to go through those, but they were protected? And then they went across the Red Sea. You know, they were delivered at the end of the plagues. And I think we're going to come into it. If the devil is going to lay down his cards first, which he will, we can't expect to be raptured out, because the Christians have to rise up. And then Christ, you know, he's going to come gather us as his army, but it's not going to be like going to heaven and living for a while and then coming back. It's just meeting him in the air with the dead that have been risen and come back down and be the tongue, be the operating body of Christ to put a stop to these things. But we need to be doing it now, because we are here specifically to be bringing in his kingdom and serving him as our king. We're not even a part of this world anymore. This world is not ours. But we need to prepare the people of this world to get ready for his coming, and whatever it takes to fight against this onslaught. And we have to have the courage to do it. And as the body, we need to be intercessory prayer warriors for those that are in our body that are getting persecuted right now. How many churches do you think right now actually pray for those poor children, Christians, that are getting killed in the Middle East? Probably very few. They're all caught up in their own personal things. Oh, let's pray for sister such and such. She has, she's been diagnosed with cancer, or brother so and so is this. You know, we need to unite and fight this onslaught of evil with an onslaught of the Holy Spirit coming from us.
Wow, Mr. Dan, that's an invitation. You just opened up an invitation. I think we need to take him up on it, Miss Barbara. I love that. I'm going to write that on my list.
I think so too. And you know, Diana, I was saying, Dan, this has been you've really been preaching tonight, and I love it. I love it, and I can hear the excitement in your voice and the fire in your belly, and that's what the body of Christ needs to hear today, you know, and we need that exhortation. We need that truth being told. And, you know, this is the time. This is the time. This is the hour that we've got to unite. Individually, we're not. Well, with the Holy Spirit we are, but how much more powerful it is to unite in prayer and with the unction from the Holy Spirit. And so this is a good word. This is a good word. In fact, we need this all the time.
Because we need this more often.
How many churches are caught up so interested in feeling right, getting the service all stirred up and feeling right, rather than to take the endurance it takes to live right? See, walking in the Spirit is walking in God's Word. You're not going to be walking in Spirit if you're not walking in God's Word. We have to pump ourselves full of his word, because when we do that, we're pumping ourselves full of the Holy Spirit, or God's given us the Holy Spirit, because we are communicating with him. That's one aspect, and the other one is communicating with him in prayer. And when we pray, we don't pray for me, we pray for everybody. We should intercess for everybody, and knowing that those that are around us are intercessory prayer warriors for us, you see. In the Shivas in Israel, they teach the students to pray. They line them, they put them in a circle, and they have them all face to the right and put their arms on the shoulders of the person in front of them and to pray for that person. Then they do an about face, and they pray for the person that was behind them and put their hands on their shoulders. and never are any of the prayers about themselves, because true prayer is prayer for others and not self, or others more so, like 90% more so than self. Because if you're seeking God's kingdom and you're doing your job, he's going to take care of your needs. He knows your needs, but he expects you to pray for the needs of the body.
I once heard someone liken that to the water that flows through a water hose. You know, the hose gets watered when it's watering. You know, the destination is not itself. It's allowing that water to flow through it and to reach the dry land, you know. But in the process of reaching the dry land, it's also being watered itself.
Right.
Well, Mr. Dan, I have a request. We had Dr. Rick Scarborough on the other day, who is a pastor, and, you know, I consider you one too. So I have a request, Mr. Dan, and I would like for you to request it to your brother Gideon, which is to have us come, Miss Barbara and me, to come and ask them to hear out and really pray for what is going on in our schools today, because I'm really thinking we need to be lifting up the children that's going to be of that age of accountability, because we're talking about masses. We're not talking about 1 million. We are talking about more. With a population of 300-something million, how many of those are that age of accountability? And we're not even realizing that they have got a plan in our schools. We know, as Alice Linehan has reminded us again and again, and we remind ourselves, they now have plans to affect children's attitudes, values, and beliefs. That's why it doesn't matter that, you can get 10 out of, it doesn't matter that 2 plus 2 is not 4, because they don't care. It's not about math. It's about affecting children's belief system, their attitude, and their values. And so we really need powerful men of God to hear out this that's playing out all over the country. And I think Gideon, Ms. Barbara, because they are the army of God, I think y'all need to put this on a track, because, you know, the Alabama Baptists have heard our plea, in essence, right, Ms. Barbara? And they have come out very strong. So I think, you know, this is the time that, you know, y'all can catch up kind of to what we're seeing, because one of the things we've been told is 50% of some classes now are being made to go online to research if the Holocaust didn't happen. Which, you know, they're going to find websites that is based on ISIS propaganda. So we're talking about we're on very dangerous ground. So I think y'all need to hear this, right, Ms. Barbara? Because that way you'll know what to pray for.
Mm-hmm. So how do we go about hearing it?
Yeah, y'all need to hear it, because isn't that what God says you have to he seeks true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. And if y'all aren't hearing exactly what's going on, you know, and when somebody will talk to you about it, it's so easy to discount, because you really don't know. Right, Ms. Barbara?
Right.
Yes. How will they hear unless someone be sent to them?
Yep.
So I'm asking you to give us an invitation.
What, do you mean to come to speak or something at one of the functions?
To speak to the Gideons. Yes. What, right, Ms. Barbara? I mean, really, we have to be bold, as we were saying, because these are the times we live in, and I believe, unfortunately, we need more people to be united with us, Mr. Dan, in prayer. We need to be praying the same thing. Yeah, we know that they're praying, but we know where the true power is. But the sad thing is, we're not using it, right? We're not united in prayer over this thing, and I think it does take all the body of Christ that knows about it, and I can just imagine legions of angels waiting on our prayers. Anyway.
Well, I have to kick that around. That sounds interesting. The problem is the way the Gideons meet, you know, the very time schedule type thing, but we do have monthly camp meetings where we try to get together and have a meal and stuff. And it might be a good thing, at least to get it printed out somehow, and you know, at least get it in the hands, because each Gideon is from, you know, like from different churches, and then we can get it spread out to those churches, and everybody be with all these things on the prayer list. It might be a good thing to do. But we need to use all avenues, every way to get Christians fired up. I don't know, you know, I write blogs on my Facebook. I try to do as much as I can in my little old circle, but there needs to be a lot more done. We're running out of time, and I feel like my hands are tied. I can't do enough. But he'll rise us up on eagle's wings when the time comes, and I think that time's coming. You know, this is, like Glenn Beck says, this is a go. It's time to go.
Well, Dan, I love what you're doing in the jails and preparing, you know, preparing the young people there in every way that you can. And, you know, it was just a couple of months ago, I've always wanted to go into the women's prisons and jails, and I have not been able to do that yet. But right now the Lord has me with children, besides with Diana, but anyway, but I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the people in prison and how the Lord says to go and visit the prisoners. And I was thinking how I've not done that, but you know, he showed me that until I can, what I can do is, you know, there is no distance, space, time problem with him. And in prayer, I can pray for them and their needs, and for them to, you know, I am praying for a great awakening in our prison system, that many souls will be saved and bring others to the Lord. And but anyway, he did show me, and I thought, you know, isn't it funny how when the Lord shows us something, we say, duh, you know, you mean I've been a Christian all these years and I haven't thought of that? I hadn't. I mean, I'd pray for the prisoners, not on a regular basis, not thinking of it that way, that I could visit them with my prayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, go to your city jails, your county jails. There's plenty of women in the county jails for sure. Right here in Pike County, we probably seven or eight at a time at an average.
But
anytime God puts it in front of your mind, you know, he tells us what to pray for. He comes to our minds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I just love it that, you know, Ms. Barbara has got such a love for everyone, and she even takes time for me to do this thing almost every night. And I'm so grateful, but, you know, and again, you know, just like you, Mr. Dan, and it's because of the power of God who's able to change us. So for those that are listening, you know, why do we talk like this? Why is it that we're not hopeless and helpless? You know, we have hope because we know the God of hope. Well, not helpless because we know where our help comes from. And he made the heaven and earth, and there's nothing hard for him. And you know, I thank God that this is not our home. And just like Paul said, to be absent in the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And it just, I was thinking at the beginning, you know, as hard as it sounds that's being done to these Christians, they're in the presence of God, and they wouldn't want to come back. There's nothing like it. So even what the enemy thought they were doing, as horrible as it was, they don't realize it just opened the door, you know, for these people. And I'm thinking, Mr. Dan, this is why really, you know, we I guess, that no matter how much fear there is in the world, because our God said he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, because we read his word. And there's so many things in the word of his power. And even this nation is an answer to lowly man's prayers, right? And the power of going and bending your knee and bowing your head. And we were talking about that the other day, that God heard the prayer of parents. And look at what he gave them, the land called the United States of America. And I'm thinking, you know, we got to remember that, right? We got to remember the blessings, because when we don't remember blessings, I think that's when we get in that position of helplessness. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants us to forget where we came from.
Exactly.
Well, if you don't mind, Mr. Dan, you know how we always like for you to do an invitation? Would you mind?
I would be honored. All of those that are out there listening that are searching for truth, that searching for light, the only true light is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Well, the reason for that is because he is God. God had to become flesh and die on the cross to redeem fallen mankind. Basically, God is remarrying us. He's our bridegroom. And all of us have trials and tribulations in our lives, but we who serve Christ, who believe in Christ, we know that he takes care of us, and we have hope. People who are lost have no hope. They have nothing to turn to. They don't even know after death if there's any kind of life after death. And sometimes you'll follow things that seem truth, but are far-fetched. But God is a strong foundation. He's your anchor. So I plead to you, if you're listening, to please give God a chance. You've given the world a chance, and it hasn't worked out so great for you. Now try to give God a chance and open the Bible and read it. If you haven't got a Bible, get you one. Find you a church, a good Bible-believing church, and see how God changes things in your life. He'll open doors for you that you won't even comprehend. You won't even believe how great things can be living under the wing of Christ. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for all those out there that are listening, and I claim them for your kingdom. You said anything that I ask in your name that you would deliver it. Father, I claim souls out there that are listening to this broadcast, and I ask you to pour your power and your spirit into them. Give them signs and wonders in their life to show that you are real. And we just give you all the praise and glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And Miss Barbara, you're still on? Earlier tonight, I was thinking about titling the show Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And I'm turning, Miss Barbara, in Deuteronomy 35. It says, vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And, Ms. Barbara, I just think to myself, you know, these are the days we're living in, and that each one really has to look at their heart, because you don't want to be a sinner in the hand of an angry God.
And it seems like the days are growing shorter. Time is drawing near. And The time is now. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible
Amen.
Says. So I would just ask, if you're listening, that you listen to this again as a podcast. What a beautiful evening that we've had together, united in Christ, at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so I would ask that you would share this also with your family and friends.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And listeners, we thank you for listening in. Please, tune in again. And we think this is a time really to ask God great things. I don't know how much longer we have, but I think while we're here, he does want us to share the hope. Because there's an awful lot of people walking around, as we're seeing in the news and everywhere, they are very lost. And the sad thing is, you know, it's going to be an eternity, right, Mr. Dan, of loss. It won't be just a day or two. And I can't imagine what eternity is like. I mean, you know, we look at years and how old we are, and we think that's long. But, Mr. Dan, eternity is an awful long time, isn't it?
That's right. We were born into this world to make a choice, and that's to either serve light or darkness. There's no other choice.
Well, Mr. Dan, would you mind? I love the scripture. You know, we put on Facebook the scripture, 8 prayers to pray over your children. And this is one of the things that Miss Barbara just makes me realize. People are hungry for the Word of God. Would you believe that had like over 5,000 hits in no time? So, Mr. Dan, would you mind, I don't know if you can, I think you can say it in Hebrew. I think I've heard you before. Would you quote that scripture, the Lord bless you and keep you for us in Hebrew and close us that way?
Well, I can say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. I would have to think about the one you were talking about. I know it, but I'd be afraid to get it wrong.
Oh, well, go ahead and tell us what you just said then.
What you said sounded wonderful.
Bless God, the King of the universe, who lives forever and ever.
Well, amen.
Amen. Well, hey, listeners.
Bless the Lord,
oh, my soul. Oh, I love it. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. As you can tell, we don't want to leave. We just want to keep talking because we love talking about our God. And, you know, I feel so sorry, Ms. Barbara, Mr. Dan, for people who doesn't know God. You know, they don't realize they do have a friend in God. They do have a redeemer in God. They have a savior in God. They have a helper. They have a protector in God. So I just pray that those who do not know him, he's just a prayer away. And he doesn't turn anybody who repents away. So we just pray that you will try him and find him as we have. And the Word of God is good, and it is sweet. Right, Mr. Dan, Ms. Barbara?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Well, thanks, everyone. The Lord bless you and shine his face upon you. Good night. Ms. Barbara, you can close us. I guess I'm closest, but you go ahead.
And may bless America. Thank you for being with us at City on a Hill Radio Show. Good night.